Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
Ariana Grande and the one and only Mother Earth. I don't know if you've heard of her.
They should have banged it out, right?
They did on screen on the God is a Woman video, like low-key.
Really? Yeah. Shout out Ariana Grande.
Just like look up.
She literally just... I'm gonna look up this video. So God is a Woman video?
Yeah, so God is a Woman and she's like on the earth and she like high key goes in on her like super fast.
I'm into it. I can see Ariana Grande is a queer woman. I mean that ponytail is really straight though.
Cabrona,
what's poppin', chingona? How you been?
Pretty good. Back in California. I know last week I was in Texas
for your fucking birthday and your mom's birthday.
And my mom's birthday, mainly my mom's birthday, if we're being honest.
But you had fun.
I had a lot of fun. Like, thanks so much to everybody that made the time for me.
If y'all was on my Instagram, y'all saw my thing like dropping it like it was hot.
Oh God, did you post that?
I did. I posted it on Snapchat and I think on Instagram too.
I want to die. Anyways. But you were hanging out with the crew this weekend, right? This Friday. I know you guys went to the art show.
Oh my God, yes. So The Colores had their Gray Space event, Orguyekis? Orguyuex? I don't know how everyone's pronouncing it. But it was super lit. Like, I got to meet one of our badass listeners. Shout out Raciel. He's the sweetest and he's a Scorpio, so that made me very happy.
Okay, well, I'm sad that I missed it, but I liked watching all the Instagram videos and Snapchats. Everything looked really cool. I forced my best friends to go, but I think they definitely didn't regret it. And
they had fun.
I'm glad it was successful.
Oh dude, it was amazing. My homegirl Jem was in it, so shout out to her. And then I know Nemo was in there as well, so it was really fucking awesome. Like, And then I know that our little friend, a tiny small person, you know, you might have heard of them, you know, Favi Fav was in there as well.
Oh yeah, his video with the tacos.
For like 14 minutes or some shit, and I was mad hungry. You know how many people I met that was like, I need to go get tacos right now. And I was like, word, same as fuck, let's get out of here and get tacos, like... I know, like, three people that, like, right after there, they want to go buy tacos because of that.
God, there was probably so much business at that local taco shop. Shout out to Favi. Oh, yeah. I miss you. Come to L.A.
Go to L.A. and then come to Dallas. But anyways, it was a really amazing event. Joe was helping Pat vend the whole night for the colores. And I got a rainbow unibrow on my head. That was pretty lit.
Yeah,
I heard of. Wifey got, like, a... like a rainbow thing across her face too. It was great.
That's cool. That's dope. But yeah, guess what I did today?
What did you do?
I went to one of the few fucking theaters here in LA that is playing The Miseducation of Cameron Post.
Oh my God. Okay, so what did you think? Tell me.
I felt so many things. Like, it was an emotional roller coaster. Like, I didn't, and I should have expected to have that many feelings, because you know me, I'm very much no feelings squad. But
yeah, team no feelings.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I felt such anger, like at some parts of it I was like rooting for them, and at the end of it I was like, wow, this shit came full circle and I love it. It was just, yes. it was a lot. And I should have trusted Desiree Alcavan, because she's like, she's wonderful and I love her. She needs all the support in the world.
This is what happens when queer, like, people of color get to direct stories. Like, this is what happens. I love that movie so much. Like, no, like, I'm not hyping this. Like, I'm just telling y'all how I feel. Like, to me, it's one of the best, happiest movies I've seen. And I've already seen Black Klansman. I've already seen, like, a shit ton of movies this year. By far, this is the only one that, like, I had a little bit of hope after I saw it.
Yeah, and not to say that the whole movie is, like, happy, because a lot of the things that I was feeling, it was anger.
I mean, you should be angry.
Mm-hmm. I was very angry, but at the same time, like, yeah, like, at the end of it, there's just, you know, and not like I would say Black Klansman has somewhat of an ending where I wasn't feeling the worst, but at the same then there wasn't, never mind, they had like two endings, but anyways, like that was a good movie for me, an interesting movie I should say. And yeah, but one of the things that I noticed about The Miseducation of Cameron Post is the very specially curated trailers ahead of it, which I wanted to talk about and highlight these movies because they're going to be the next ones that are coming up, and Miseducation of Cameron Post is already not getting enough people in those seats, and we need to change that.
Didn't you say like it was empty when you went?
Yeah, half of the theater was me and my straight friends that I forced to go. So shout out to Angel and his girl from Let Me Know Pod, and thanks for coming with me, guys.
Yes, make the straights watch it.
They had a lot to say about it, and I think they definitely didn't regret watching it. So, I mean, it's for the straights too. But yeah, I wanted to talk about some of these trailers. I know you've heard of at least one of them, Colette, starring Keira Knightley.
In a suit, guys. Keira Knightley in a motherfucking suit.
It looks really, really good. For a number of reasons, definitely go watch that shit. Like, seeing women in suits is always such a plus for me. And there's another one called Boy Erased. Have you heard of this one? It's another conversion camp type of movie.
Yeah, it was the same queer man that was in Lady Bird.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So that's another one to look out for. And plus, Troye Sivan is in that, and he does some of the soundtrack, and I love Troye Sivan.
Oh my god, I love Troye Sivan. He sounds perfect, and he is perfect.
Yes, he's beautiful. I love him. The last one I would mention is The Happy Prince, which is about... God, why do I always forget his name? Wilde. Oscar Wilde, yes. Oscar was wild gay. So this movie's about him. So I'm just glad about all these. Like, there's time pieces, there's current pieces, and as always, are really, really white. But it's still, like, really interesting content, I'll say, at the very least.
And at least with Miseducation of Cameron Post, it wasn't, like, super white.
Right, yeah, definitely not. The other two, I would argue, main characters were a Native American man who identified as Two-Spirit, and Sasha Lane, who is a cutie pie.
She's, oh my god, yeah, I fucking love that movie so much. And you guys, go support queer cinema. We need it. We need to tell people. We the Animals is coming out soon with Raul Castillo. Apparently it's not gonna be in Dallas till like August, so I'm super pissed.
August is right now, but I think you mean September.
I mean, not August, September, dude. And I'm like, I don't know.
It's not even here, and I'm really upset.
It's
about
in New York right now, and I'm mad because I'm like, yo, do I need to fly to New York? Do I need to fly to Austin? Like, what's the deal? Like, I think it'll so be down.
Just keep an eye out. I'll try to keep an eye out and post on our social medias at CYC Podcast, just because it's so important to support these movies. They're very indie. But they're, like, doing better work than these high-budget films.
They are doing better work, and they're saying a lot more. You know, I think that, like, movies are having, like, a renaissance right now, where we're talking a lot about the current state of America, like, Black Klansmen, Blindspotting.
Blindspotting.
And The Hate U Give. Like, all these movies are kind of, like, reflecting our times, but... It's those are very important as well. Go support those movies as well, and go support Rich Crazy Asians, who's apparently number one at the box office this weekend.
Crazy,
so shout
Rich
out
Asians.
To Crazy Rich Asians. Excuse me.
It was so good. It was so good. Like, I went to go watch it on Thursday, so like a week ago from when you guys are listening to it, and I was blown out of the water because a lot of people were thinking it's a rom com, it's gonna be crap. It's good, guys. Like, we need to support our POC led films. Like, everything has controversies in and out of it, but at the end of the day, like, we get more content by supporting the existing content.
Yeah, isn't there a tweet that the comedian Jibuki, I can't say his name, he tweeted, he's like, white people are so like, what is it, that they don't have to even, they can openly hate movies with white people in them. And I was just like, that's so fucking true. Like,
yeah, we have to publicly support everything. Shout out to our own podcast.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do. Like, we talk nothing about representation, and then it's like they have so much of it that they can openly criticize all their shit. And it's like, yeah. But in this case, that's not true. Like,
this I is loved like, it. It was so good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet because I'm fake. I'm probably, by the time this comes out, I hopefully have already seen it. But I'm taking your word on it, Maita, and literally everyone else's word as well. Because I love Constance Wu, so can't go wrong. Ugh,
babe. It's just such a babe. And like, such a good performance.
And also, she was, FYI, she was in another queer movie called The Feels. It's currently on Netflix. Constance Wu is the lead queer character in it, so it's pretty amazing. So shout out to Constance Wu forever for being in a small indie queer movie. Like, I don't know how many years ago, but it finally came out on Netflix. So everyone should go support it. It's called The Feels.
And it was highly improvised by these comedians. So it's actually one of the most naturally like funny movies that I've seen in a long time. It's definitely like a good kickback, chillin' film. Like, love that movie.
Yeah, I watched it in Mexico with my girlfriend. It was really random.
That is random.
It's super like, you don't really know where the story's going. It's about a couple that's going to get married, and this is like, apparently they spend their bachelorette weekend together with their friends, because that's what lesbians do. And
sounds like Ghost to Me. Let's not spoil it for everybody, but it's just good. Go watch it.
No, that's not a spoiler. They spend the weekend together, so.
Boom. Yeah, no, not that part, but anything further might be. I'm good there. Today we're going to talk about stuff that is completely unrelated to everything we've mentioned thus far. but good shit.
We call it like an emergency episode this week because Maita's like, no, I'm watching this. We have to talk about it, and I've heard nothing but amazing things. And I'm fake. I wanted to wait to hear Maita's like criticism or review of it, and then I'm gonna watch it. So we're gonna get into it, and I'm so excited. What are you gonna talk about today, Maita?
I'm gonna talk about La Casa de las Flores, or how Netflix likes to promote it, The House of Flowers.
See, I didn't know what it was because I kept seeing House of Flowers and everyone was saying Casa de Flores, and like, I don't connect them. So I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty excited to hear what your movie's about as well, because I've been watching a lot more movies lately because I've got this new movie pass thingy. Not movie pass, but a pass of movies. So I've been watching a lot of movies, and I'm excited to hear what you have to say about, what are you covering?
I'm covering Viva. It's actually pretty, it came out in 2015. And it's on Netflix right now, so it's an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes of your life that you can spend being triggered. But it's good.
Jeez.
Yeah. Watching it a second time or third time, I think, kind of made me feel things. So anyways, I don't want to spoil it yet.
Good to know. So yeah, both of these are watchable on Netflix. Mine is a Netflix original. Netflix in general has been doing some interesting stuff in Spanish language media. So, is yours not a Netflix original, right?
It is not a Netflix original. In fact, it like barely made any money in the movie theaters. I think it made like 48,000 total in theaters. So it's the indiest you can get.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me about it. I want to hear about it. That way, any of you who are planning on watching La Casa de las Flores, which I know just came out 2 weeks ago, then you guys can hold out a little bit. I don't plan on spoiling anything.
So I'm gonna get into mine. It's called Viva. It came out in 2015. I guess I want to preface this by saying that the director is a white man and the writer is also a white man. So it's problematic to begin with. It's about a young man, a young queer man in Cuba, who is kind of down on his luck. He's a hairdresser in his local like apartment complex, his neighborhood, and he also fixes the wigs for the transformistas. They're not really called drag queens in Cuba because I mean they don't speak English, so they're called transformistas instead. And I think that's actually super fucking dope. Like, as to, instead of calling themselves drag queens, you know, they're transformers. That's actually like really gnarly.
Yeah, it sounds like they're gonna beat the shit out of somebody, and I love it.
I mean, yeah. So he works at the local like queer bar where all the transformistas come together and perform. And you can see from the beginning that he's really wanting to also join the community and start performing. But, you know, he's just kind of like really young. He's new to the scene. So you see him kind of struggle. He's, you know, Cuba again, this is written by white dudes and directed by white dudes, what you see is a, like, very gray, like, kind of crumbling Havana. And, I mean, not that it isn't that way, but I have to take every part of this movie with a grain of salt because it's written and directed by white men, white Irish dudes who, like, anyone who's, like, visiting Cuba to begin with, who didn't grow up and doesn't understand the story there, I'm going to be really critical of the movie from there on. And so once I found that out, I rewatched it and I felt really differently. What you see and what another thing I want to preface this with is that I'm really, really fucking tired of queer pain. Like, we talk about this all the time, right? Mm-hmm. That, like, we're fucking tired of queer pain. Like, I don't want to... It's not a bad story. It's probably a lot of people's realities. But at the same time, I'm fucking tired of, like, queer pain just for the sake of it. Like... It's horror porn for, like, white people. And I don't want that. I don't want to watch that. When I first saw this, I felt very triggered. When I saw it again, I was even more pissed off. I think I spent most of this movie just deeply, deeply angry. Because what we're watching is a queer man trying to exist, trying to get by in Cuba, and then his father comes out of nowhere and just kind of, like, starts pissing all over his things. So his, like, dad dipped out on him when he was, like, a little kid, a little baby. And he comes back after, like, 17, 18 years, and he's just like, yo, this is my house. You're my son. You're not going to be, you know, performing. I'm not going to spoil a lot of the things, but he doesn't want him to perform anymore. He's okay. You know, he's not tolerant of his queerness, but he's just kind of like, well, you're gay, it's whatever. We're not going to talk about it. You know, like, the basic machista, like, Latino dude, you know, he came home and he pissed on things. And he's, like, the most abhorrent character I've seen in a while, just because it feels so violent to me that you would be this fucking aggressive and violent to your own, like, family. And I just wanted him to, like, shoot out into space. Like... Have you ever just wanted to, like, shoot someone out into space?
Like, other than myself, or what do you mean?
Yeah, like, okay, so, like, Trump, I would shoot him out into space.
Oh, you know, I see. Like, I don't know that I would want to put space through that.
I mean, there's no oxygen in space, so he'd be done.
Oh, yeah, yeah, so. I want to kill Donald Trump, that's fine.
Yeah, like, we want to shoot him into space. So, and this is how I feel about this guy's father. And the main character, before I start going into it, his name's Jesus. And I made a point of not learning the father's name, his character at least, because I hate him. And that's what I do to people, characters I hate. I don't know their names, and I try not to remember them. But, so he's, the whole story is about him trying to become a performer, to become a drag queen, a transformista. And the high points of this movie all involve the queens talking to each other, coming together. And those are, like, the only parts of the movies that give you some kind of hope. You know, you see him interact with these other queens, and one of them is very specific. Her name is Mama. They call her Mama, and it's actually played by one of the most famous actors in Cuban, like, cinema. It's Luis Alberto Garcia. He's been in, like, so many movies in Cuba. He's famous in Cuba, not famous to us, right? And then a fun thing that led me down this giant rabbit hole is that the most problematic character of this movie is the toxic father that comes out of nowhere. But the fun thing about him, his real name is Jorge Perugoria. The fun thing about him is that he actually played a queer man in the very first queer Cuban story. So in it's called Fresa y Chocolate. And you saw this before, right, Maite?
I did. I had to see this movie in one of my English courses, actually, back in college, where we spent a lot of, for some reason, we spent the whole semester kind of watching really political movies with queer themes in them, and Fresa y Chocolate was one of them.
And it's kind of amazing because he's, like, this extremely homophobic, extremely sexist, extremely problematic character in Viva, but in real life he was this extremely flamboyant queer man in Fresa y Chocolate.
So it sounds like he's a great actor. It's like,
he's an amazing actor. Like, I hated him so fucking much in Viva, and yet I loved him in Fresa y Chocolate, because out of those two films, because they're connected because of, you know, Jorge Perugoria, he's kind of acting his ass off in both of these movies, and I wanted to center Fresa y Chocolate because if you want to go back into the history of like queer Cuba and how it is to be queer in Cuba, you go back to this movie, because after this movie, Fidel Castro made like a public announcement apologizing like his about his homophobia. So it's actually really interesting, because Fresa y Chocolate was produced by Cuba, yet it was a very, it was a movie that criticized communism. It criticized communism's view of the LGBTQ community. So it was interesting that he allowed this film to be made. It was interesting that he made an apology that same year to the queer community, because if you have any history about Cuba, it wasn't always like it was okay to be like a transformista or a trans woman or queer in Cuba. Like, as much as like Cuba fucking hates the United States, they kind of treated queer people the same for about the same amount of time. Like, they were imprisoned the same way that queer people in the United States were. They were fucking sent to like conversion camps or exiled. Like, it was really, really fucked up to be queer in Cuba the same way it was fucked up to be queer in the United States. So I think it's interesting that a country that so hates us or hates the United States is exactly, treats their queer people exactly the same. So I thought it was really interesting to see it from a different perspective. And another beautiful thing about Fresa y Chocolate is that it was written by a Cuban man, and it was directed by a Cuban man. So out of Viva y Fresa y Chocolate, you definitely want to go back to that instead of Viva, because Viva was completely triggering and traumatic to watch, and it was really difficult to watch a queer man go through that much pain the whole movie, yet he still came out stronger for it. But I'm kind of tired of watching like queer people struggle an entire movie and see them in poverty, to see them go through being physically assaulted and by their own family. So it was really heavy, and it's a trigger warning to anyone who has like a really hard relationship with their father. And yeah, so I don't know, dude, like Viva is great for what it is, but it's triumphant in the end. But I mean, the whole movie, you wish for something to happen and it finally does happen, and you feel good for at least the very ending of it. But I think I want more from queer cinema, and I think I want more from anyone making movies about queer men and queer pain. It has to be from the correct perspective, and it has to be the correct person writing the story, because there are themes in here that feel like they're only like glanced over, and I wanted to see something deeper. I wanted to see an actual Cuban tell this story. So if, you know, anyone else is able to, you know, do this in this day and age, I want them to, because it just lacked so much in Viva. Like, it was like I was looking through a window, but I couldn't really hear the people talking, you know?
I'd like to, because I feel like you've kind of told us a little bit about Viva, but I also kind of, I'm curious at some...
I don't want to, like, spoil it.
But it's also kind of, yeah. I mean, maybe we could, I don't know about, like, spoiling it per se, but maybe, like, a specific example, I guess, of what you're kind of saying, like, something that they did because of lack of understanding that somebody else maybe wouldn't have done.
Well, first off, like, the amount of queer pain you have to see, and a lot of it felt overdone. Not overdone. The acting was amazing in this movie. All the actors did incredibly well. I'm mainly criticizing the writing. There was a lot of scenes that I didn't need. You know, like, I get it. The relationship is extremely strained. This person is extremely shitty. But every time I thought he was shitty, he literally got worse and worse and worse. And it became unbearable to watch sometimes, is all I'm saying. Is like, I didn't want to watch that much shit. And it's not violent in the sense that you see, like, physical violence. It's violent in an emotional way that I was just like, fuck this. I had to, like, stop it and come back. And I don't know if that means... It just made me so mad. And, you know, the first time I saw it, I didn't, you know, put that much into it. And then I found out they were white. And then it did change my perspective when I saw it again, because I was like, wait a minute. This feels like horror porn. This feels like this was written for white people to watch and go, oh, wow, they have it so hard. Poor queer people. And it's like, fuck that. You know, I'm tired of that.
So you don't think that, like, any light was shed on, like, for example, like, the drag queen community or the queer community? Like, you don't think that they were able to shine any life in
them? Oh, okay.
I haven't seen the movie, so I'm just curious.
So that was like the high point of it was they're showing, you know how they do the same thing with black men? They make it like a magical black man. They made it seem like he was a magical queer man, you know, like these were magical drag queens, you know, and that they didn't do anything wrong and they were perfect. And of course they were their angels. I love all
You're
of them.
perfect.
They're my
Don't ever
favorites,
change.
all of them. Don't ever change. We love you. But I mean, to see this character struggle, and I guess, you know, to show, oh, you know, queer people are so strong and they make it through everything, and you know, I don't want that story told by white men. You know, that's really important to me. I can't reiterate that more. Is that, yes, I know we're magical. Yes, I know we have all of this. This is all very true, and you know, but at the same time, it didn't get into like the main character. You know he's queer because he's kind of like more femme in his identity, but and he's also becomes a transformista, but you don't see him, you don't get to see him like really express his sexuality other than with his like, but because to me it's not really expressing his sexuality, it's more like an expression of gender when he gets to dress up, you know, it's more of just him being himself, but like you don't get to see the queer man like the queer gaze, you know, like he didn't look at another man and you didn't go, oh, okay, he likes him. He kind of did for like 3 seconds and then it was snatched away. And that didn't make me mad. That's whatever, right? But he seemed really muted, the main character. He seemed muted. And I understand, I like quiet, slow movies and that's what it kind of was, but it felt like it was too long and it felt like, I don't know, he felt muted. He felt like, and I get that's the point. He was repressed and he was sad and he was depressed and he was going through all these things. And then once he can perform, he became himself and he became something very beautiful. Oh, okay. No, you're good. And then at the end, he becomes himself and he becomes this like beautiful, beautiful person. You know, he's like a butterfly and now he's flying and he's beautiful. I get it. But again, my criticism of it doesn't change. Like, it was great, but it felt muted. And I would prefer to a more Cuban sensibility to it, which I thought this was like a very white story to tell. That they just like changed the characters up and they made him Cuban and queer. And I was like, okay, I guess this could have been made in Ireland, bro. You know, I would have liked it probably more, but it
Where
wasn't.
my Irish drag
So
queens at, man? They slacking.
I would have been into it, you know. That would, you know, but I guess I give this movie like 3.5 stars. And
Stars.
it's just stars, excuse me, I'm kind of drunk. 3.5 conchas, pan dulces, all of that shit. Just because of who wrote it and directed it. But these actors, all of them get 5 pan dulces. They're amazing. There's no shade to the actors, there's no shade to any of them. They acted their asses off and that shit was amazing. But I'm just mainly my criticism is for the writer and the director.
For sure. I guess I don't. Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. You didn't convince me to watch it, but I'm definitely curious to read up on it a little bit because that's pretty random. Like the Irish coming in to make this movie. I don't know.
I mean, there was like a criticism of like tourists coming into Havana and using it as their like sexual playground. We got like a glimpse of it, but it was just a glimpse and that was it.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, that's cool. From what I've heard, the only real way that this kind of sort of ties into what I'm going to talk about here is that it's Latino America and that there's drag queens. So
Yeah, that's it. The best part of it.
So I would say this is a significantly easier thing to watch. I don't think it's that painful to watch this particular show. I think it's funny, more than anything. What it's a 30-minute dramedy, which like Netflix is doing some shit by pulling those on us because normally you get 40 to 45-minute ones. But Ingobernable was another Mexican television series that was 30 minutes, and that's against the grain, but I love it. So it was
Oh, yeah.
created.
So tell me about it. I'm
Yeah, it was
excited.
created by Manolo Caro. It's actually the third Mexican Netflix original TV series. Ingobernable, we talked about like episode 2 or something, 3 or something like that. and Club de Cuervos, yeah. which we're going to talk about very soon. Shout out to the listener who tweeted us about it, and to Tamarindo, who talked to us about it a little bit. Yes. So we'll talk about those. We're going to cover probably every single one of these Mexican shows because they're fucking, they're churning them out. Yeah.
They're so good. Yeah. Fuck yes. Give us content.
Yeah. So this series, much like Jane the Virgin, it's like, it's very reminiscent of like your average telenovela, but it explores some really non-telenovela themes, like hence our coverage of this series, which is why we're talking about it. Quite honestly, it reminds me of Desperate Housewives. Did you ever watch that?
Like one season of Desperate
Housewives. Yeah, yes. It's like the comedy to drama ratio, it's very Desperate Housewives, you know what I mean? Like it's like 50-50. Like it's crazy.
I'm into that. I love it. I'm into it.
I like it too. It stars like the iconic Veronica Castro, who's an artist. She's an actress. She has a family full of stars. You may have heard of her. In the show, she's the matriarch of a dysfunctional family because it's basically a telenovela. What else would you have in there, you know? So if you just...
Yeah, we don't want happy people.
Exactly. If you watch the trailer, which is the longer one, the minute and 30-second one, you'll kind of get a glimpse of that dysfunctional family. Despite how iconic I think that Veronica is, like, for me, Cecilia Suarez, who plays Paulina in the show, she took the fucking cake, man. Like, she has this, like, her character and the way that she speaks, it's different from anything that I've ever heard, like, or seen. And, like, she... Even her style intrigued me so much. Like, it's very, very, like, high-class lesbian chic. Even though she's...
Oh, is she the daughter?
She's one of the daughters, yeah. One of the two daughters.
Oh, shit, there's a lesbian in it?
I didn't know that. Technically, no. Not quite. But she has like, lesbian style. And she's very stoic.
Power lesbian.
Yeah, she's very stoic. She's able to manage these crazy situations with like such a collected composure, and it makes it funny because like they're sitting there like somebody like fucking hung themselves or some shit like that, and she's sitting there talking about like vamos a hablarle a la policía, you know what I mean? Like, she's very, very calm about every crazy thing that happens in her family, which is a lot of things, and just the way she speaks is like just iconic. And I still don't quite understand why she speaks that way, but I love that her family kind of defends her when people try to talk shit about her. So
she's just like super calm all the time, never like has an inflection on her voice or something.
I mean, she definitely goes through it, so at some point, yeah, she'll go off or whatever, but for the most part, like, she's like the fixer of the family. Like, if you've seen Crazy Rich Asians, there's that one character that they kind of call upon whenever shit needs to get fixed. That's who she kind of is. But she's really, like, she has her own problems, and it's a whole fucking lot of them, let me tell you. La Casa de las Flores. And like I said, this is in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. It's actually two things. There's a flower shop that's owned by the family that's centered in the show, and there's a cabaret that's run by a certain someone, Sideho. So the cabaret isn't doing so great financially, but it houses a number of drag queens that perform their hearts off and are total sweethearts. And some of my favorite moments in this show happen to be inspired by those queens. They don't get hardly enough screen time, but they are, I think, pretty much in every single episode, and you get to see some great shit, especially towards the first half of the season. And it's a great cabaret. Like, they don't even, I mean, they trip about the fact that, like, it exists, but they don't trip about the drag queen so much. Also in the series, there's a trans character that is pretty heavily in the show for the second half. Unfortunately, Maria Jose, who's the trans character, she's played by a Spanish actor who is Francisco León Barrios. She's actually Spanish in the show, but the actor is a man. And an openly bisexual man, which is kind of rare, but and who also isn't new to playing a woman on screen. He also plays Maria in a comedy called Moncloa Dígame. I'm assuming it's a Spanish show because I've never heard of it. And
never heard of it either.
Yeah, so it's problematic in that fact, right? We gotta let our trans people play trans characters. Not that I know Francisco's life, but from what I'm seeing, he's identified as a cis man. And you know, there's there's a lot of reasons that I enjoyed that trans storyline, like regardless of the danger behind a cis man taking the role, especially one who once played one on a sketch comedy show. So it's obviously, it was a joke to him in that. It, that's problematic in a number of ways, but we know, I mean, I don't know about if you have seen it a lot, but I've seen it a lot in Spanish language television where they kind of take, God damn it, I got distracted.
It's always a joke. Yeah, it's always a joke about it.
Like a lot. Like, it's the funniest thing ever for a man to dress up like a woman, and that's a little shitty.
It's really not. It's super cool if done right, but not as a caricature.
Right, you know? Which I think in this particular show, they don't do that much harm with it or anything like that. Like I said, I enjoyed that storyline quite a bit, and I think that it was important to show, very much so. But yeah, as with most things on television, there was casting flaws. Like, the vast majority of the people on screen were white passing, or just white. And as in many, like, telenovela-esque shows, like, the focus is on a wealthy family and how far they can fall. Like, that's, you know,
it's very
telenovela.
Eye roll.
Yeah, that's what that shit's about.
But they didn't own, like, a tequila rancho, right?
No,
like
they owned a flower shop and a cabaret, the ones that, the La Casa
de Flores. Okay, good, because usually that's
what I'm used to watching.
Mm-hmm. Shit like that.
Nevertheless, like, I was impressed, like, to an extent, like, that the focus was shared with a variety of, like, touchy themes. Like, some of the ones that I've already mentioned, but they also have, like, weed is in the storyline quite a bit, like, bisexuality, open relationships, and then, like, just, I don't know, a straight couple wasn't the focus for once, which is a little rare. They leave the unrequited love. They leave the unrequited love to the queers for once, and it kind of does. I'm not gonna spoil it at all, but there is kind of like a little surprising lesbian storyline that I adored.
That's all you had to say. Now I'm gonna watch it.
It comes really late into the story, but I think it's adorable.
I'm into it. That's all you had to say. It's a slow burn lesbian love. Like, yeah, I'm into it. Let's do it.
Sort of. I can't say anything without spoiling it. But anyways, after I finished the series, I watched a couple of, like, interviews with the actors and the creator just to kind of, like, see them as themselves, especially Cecilia Suarez, because, like, I was like, what are you? You don't speak like that in real life. Like, I know you don't. And I was right. She doesn't. They were all, like, they're acting like my family. They were acting brand new when it came to these topics, you know what I mean? Like, oh, these are touchy. Oh, like, let's laugh about it a little bit. Like, they kind of refer to all these topics as, like, crazy. Like, oh, you had the crazier storyline. No, yours was crazier. And that was a lot annoying, actually. Not a little bit. I was like, why are y'all?
You said a lot annoying.
It was a lot annoying. But I will agree with one thing that Cecilia commented on regarding the creator, Manolo, which was that he does a really good job of giving each one of the main characters, which is quite a few, he gives them their own stories, their own personalities, and they're not two-dimensional, you know what I mean? They all seem, like, well-developed, and, like, they could really do their own thing, and that's a hard thing for some people to accomplish,
well-written
especially
characters.
In these big ensembles. Yeah, rare. And then for them to all kind of come together in such a way that feels like a real family.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm already into this. Like, well-written, developed characters? What? Queer storylines?
Never heard of it.
Drag
and
names?
This just came out on Netflix just recently.
I so love anything involving, like, decentering straight people is, like, my favorite shit on earth, so I'm into this. And then written by, like, at least, you know, Latino people, that's already, look at that, we're already there.
I think Manolo's gay, but I'm not sure. I'm only saying that because I saw him speak, so
okay, it was one of those things.
Mm-hmm. It was the gaydar. But I think that it's just super funny. Like, it's such a, like, it's kind of a lighthearted thing that really got me into it, that got me to binge it within, like, 2 days. I just finished it yesterday, and I think it came out the day before. So, there's that.
How many episodes is it?
It's, like, 13 episodes, and they're 30-minute episodes, so you get through the series really, really quickly. But I recommend it.
I mean.
Yeah, I would say it doesn't really take any gafcitos to watch this, like, I would give it like no casitos just because it's so easy to watch. I've already said my piece when it comes to the flaws in this show, which is in the casting, mainly. But for the most part, like, I was, like, into it. Like, I binged this. And I know I'm not the only one because I've been on the internet. And I see you guys also doing the same. It's good.
Yo, she said, no cafecitos. That means a lot.
It does. Like, I sleep a lot. For anybody that knows me, I sleep a solid, like, 9 hours a day or some shit like that. So, for me to, like, stay awake and watch this show, it means something.
I'm into it. I'm already down to watch it. Like, all you had to say was no cafecitos. And I was like, yeah, I'm in. All this other shit sounds so good. Like, I just got to get around to actually watching it.
Right on. I will say, like, my binge fest went on a little too long. And I ended up falling into another show that I kind of have been really curious about. Like, it has had a lot of criticism to it. And I know 100% that I'm probably never going to cover it as something that I would recommend because it's just too problematic just in conceptually, but I did.
Oh, I think I know what you're saying. Oh no, no.
What did I do?
I don't want to give it any clout. I'm not giving it any clout. I'm not talking about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's you know, we don't have to say the name. How about that?
It's, I know which one you're talking about, but not, we're, yeah, not going to talk about it.
I will mention one thing about it that was surprising is that, and I won't even go into detail, but it did some stuff where I haven't seen it in good shows. I haven't seen it in well done shows, and it took a lot of bravery to do that. So it really disappoints me that they messed up so bad when it comes to the overall concept of this show. It's kind of stupid to talk about a show that I'm not even mentioning. It's also a Netflix original. I'll say that much. And I've been binging it, and
yeah,
it's shitty. Well, like, there's some really good stuff out there that has bad people backing it, and then there's the inverse, some really shitty content with good people backing it. And I just, where do we go wrong?
Yeah, we're not giving that any clout though, so like,
no, for sure. I just, you know, you know me, my curiosity gets the best of me. I have to see anything that pretends to or claims to represent a disenfranchised group. Like, I have to watch it, I have to see it, and I did. Yeah.
It's okay, I forgive you, it's okay.
Sorry. Good. But yeah. Anyways, I'm sweating so hard because LA decided to go into the 80s, and I don't understand why it did that to me, but there's no AC here.
Anyways. You said the 80s. Everybody in Texas is laughing at you right now.
Everybody in Texas is in AC right now. There's a big difference, okay?
Not everybody. You most, know, not everybody got AC in people. Texas.
But anyways, yeah, I'm sweating. Where can everybody find us and talk to us about this stuff that we have been speaking about?
Yes, find us at CYC Podcast. Right. I got it right. On Twitter. You can find us at CYC Podcast, also on Instagram. You can DM us, email us. Please rate and review. It really helps more people find us because there aren't many queer Latino women reviewing queer movies or just reviewing movies, period. Like, that's such a real thing. And every time I look at reviews for movies, I look to see who's at the very top. And it's always white dudes. We want to fucking change that. We want to decenter the white man from being the voice of the people, because they're not. Queer Latinas need to be out here. Queer people need to be out here. Queer people of color need to be reviewing movies that are supposedly about them. So this is super important, y'all.
Yeah, your reviews, like, literally highlight the entirety of my week. So keep going. Keep doing that. Also, if you guys don't do the iTunes thing, you could also go on Stitcher to review and rate us. And you can also go to facebook.com/USEpod to rate and review us and just follow us in general. And we do would really appreciate for you if you guys helped us get to 1,000 followers on our social medias, because that would help my OCD a lot. Just saying.
No, yeah. And also, if you guys want to support by becoming Patreon supporters as well. That would be amazing. We don't ever waste any money you guys give us. It all goes back into the pod. It's how we can sound so well, how we make it work. Even though she's in Cali, in LA, and I'm in Dallas, we make that shit pop. And anything that you guys give, we definitely throw back into the podcast. So go find us on Patreon if you want to support. We got an Arcoiris level where you guys can decide an episode, like Aaron did for the HBO Looking episode. And you guys can be like Concha or Cafecito, where we shout you out. Or you can go a little bit above that, and you guys can listen to our Patreon episodes that come out like every third Thursday. And they're just for y'all. They're catered for y'all. Y'all get to pick your content. It's for you. So
yeah, I mean,
you know, become a Patreon supporter.
Yeah, that week where we don't post on iTunes, that's because we're posting on Patreon, just so you guys are aware. And then of course you can follow me with my personal thoughts at mytepanda on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, and you can follow me at Fried Papita on Twitter, and don't forget we're also on Spotify. Shout out Spotify.
Yeah, listen to us there, iTunes, Audioboom, our website, Cabronas y Chingonas, where we will have links to any of the random things that we have talked to about today, probably except for one, because no clout for them. And thank you guys for listening.
Bye!